When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, we're back and better than ever. We roll along, Greeny, with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. The hashtag crew has assembled around me, and we are coming off of, and this is not an opinion, but it is a statement of fact, the best NFL weekend of the season by far. What were you telling me, Hembo, about the numbers on the games this weekend?
There's obviously a game tonight still, but the largest margin of victory in any game so far this weekend was 11 points. Cincinnati beat Tampa by 11 points. And that was the game that Cincinnati at one point trailed by 17.
Right.
In other words, every single game was good. The average margin of victory this week is in line to be the lowest since week 12 of 2003. Best in 20 years.
Which is what right now? What is the average margin of victory? 6 points. You had the biggest comeback of all time with what Minnesota did to our friend Jeff Saturday and the Colts. I felt terrible.
Don't say it.
For Jeff, but what can you do? I mean, it's just horrendous. But that game goes to overtime. You had another game in overtime yesterday.
Jacksonville won in overtime.
Jacksonville in overtime. Kansas City overtime. That's three overtime games. The Jet game ends on the final play of the game. The Patriot game ends on the final play of the game. The Bills game ends on the final play of the game. I mean, that's an incredible weekend all the way around.
Didn't the Chargers beat the Titans on a kick too?
So all these games go right to the finish. Giants and Washington goes right down to the two plays in the end zone on the final sequence of the game. So it's the best NFL weekend of the season, and from a competitive standpoint, one of the best that we've seen in a really long time. And if you're just joining me, I feel like running in quick order through my top five takeaways because there's just so much stuff. At number five, I said the Cowboys just threw it away. I remain frustrated. And look, you all know, anyone who watches Get Up, we get made fun of all the time for all the Cowboy coverage we do. But look, I'm not going to make any bones about it. The answers and the reasons are very simple. We talk about the Cowboys, the ratings go up. People are interested in them, and they threw it away yesterday. Just threw it away. And I keep saying that defense, it's built just like the old Peyton Manning Colts defenses. They're built to get the lead and then, strangle you with that pass rush like they used to do with Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. The Colts defense did that. Where is that? What happened? Micah Parsons is sitting there. He wants to have a serious conversation last week evaluating the MVP candidacy of Jalen Hurts. In the meantime, you let Trevor Lawrence do that to your defense with a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter? So this game that we had to look forward to all week, it's not about us, but, you know, in my life, sometimes everything is about you. We had this whole week, we're going to have Cowboys-Eagles, going to be the biggest game of the NFL. It's meaningless. The Eagles shouldn't even play their starters this weekend. It means nothing. Cowboys are going to open on the playoffs at the winner of the dreadful NFC South, in which Tampa is 6-8 and everyone else is 5-9. And I'm telling you right now, the Cowboys could lose that game. They could absolutely lose that game. Be it at Tampa, Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta. I don't know who's going to win that division, and I almost don't care. What is Dallas going to be favored by going into that game, whoever it is they play?
Probably between a field goal and a touchdown. Obviously, a lot will change between now and then. But Vegas still really likes Dallas. Right now, they're a point-and-a-half favorite over Philly. One-loss Eagles this week, that surprised me.
I understand that.
Really
but
surprised
the
me.
But the Eagles, but no, because the Eagles have nothing to play for now. The Eagles have they wrapped up the one seed?
No.
How close are they?
They have to win one of their last three games to do that.
Of their last three games?
Yes, and the Eagles are not going to treat that game as anything but their Super Bowl. I can assure
what
you
game?
Of that. The Dallas game.
Why?
Because that's not That is not going to fly with the fan base, nor is it going to fly with the players. Jalen Hurts still wants to win the MVP. So do his teammates. Nick Sirianni, their coach, is not going to let the Eagles off light against Dallas. Oh, I understand
they're not going to seriously rest their starters. I'm not being serious about that. But I am saying that game's not their Super Bowl.
Oh.
They're going to wrap up the one seed somewhere along the line. This game is infinitely less important now than it otherwise would have been. Everything is about getting the one seed. They've got it.
Steven,
who can still catch them? Minnesota? No, they beat Minnesota.
Theoretically.
San Francisco?
Dallas. It means even less for Dallas, though. Dallas is effectively locked into the five seed.
So they can't get caught from behind? What are they, 10-4?
Very unlikely, yes. They have four losses.
And then the next wild card is the Giants at 8-6?
Eight and one, yeah.
All right. Well, so if the Cowboys lose this weekend, they would have five losses. The Giants would have five losses.
Uh-huh. Could happen.
Do they still play each other? Remind me, do they play twice already? No, they play each other, don't they?
They play, no, they're done. They're done.
Cowboys won both. Oh, that's right. Thanksgiving. They played Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Eagles at Titans, Commanders. That's Dallas's last three games.
Eagles at Titans, Commanders. Yeah, no, it's as simple as that. That's where the Cowboys are going to wind up. So that was my take number five. Number four, Tom Brady was the reason the Bengals lost yesterday. For some reason, people tiptoe around saying it. Doesn't mean Brady's not the greatest player of all time. It doesn't mean you don't respect everything that he's done. It doesn't mean anything except that with a 17-point lead in the third quarter, he turned the ball over personally on three consecutive possessions, and the whole game turns. And they were terrible. He looked terrible yesterday. And he's just flat out had a bad year. All year long, he's just been running around looking for someone to yell at, when the reality is that person is easy to find. He's in the mirror. And I don't know. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Kyle Shanahan is looking at next season and thinking, here's what I need. Sign a 46-year-old Tom Brady and we'll win the Super Bowl. I genuinely think that Shanahan will have better options.
Maybe not Shanahan, but somebody will take a flyer on Tom Brady, won't they?
No, well, I mean, someone who wants to sell tickets? Who? You tell me the team right now you put Tom Brady on and they become the Super Bowl favorite.
Well, I don't know that team exists, but some team will.
But what's the point of doing it if you're Tom Brady? You're just playing with 46 because you just feel like running around?
How about Tennessee? He can play for his former teammate, Mike Vrabel.
No. Oh, my God, no. Tennessee's not Tom Brady away from winning the Super Bowl.
No team that's Tom Brady away from winning the Super Bowl will want Tom Brady.
Well, everyone keeps talking about San Francisco. They're the obvious one because Garoppolo's probably not going to go back there. Trey Lance is such an unknown commodity. But what I'm saying is there will be other options out there. If you're the 49ers, hey, Nuno, if you're the 49ers next year, and I'm telling you right now, your quarterback to try and win the Super Bowl could either be Tom Brady or Daniel Jones. Which way are you going? Next year.
Brady. I mean, listen, as the way he's played, Daniel Jones has played well this year. I would ask.
Who's that yelling? Is that Cam?
Yeah, that's Cam.
Go ahead, Cam. Put a microphone on and yell. Go.
I don't care if Tom Brady's 50. If anyone's taking Daniel Jones to win a Super Bowl over putting Tom Brady at the helm, you're ridiculous.
All right, that's fair. I can't dispute that.
Green, let me ask you.
Go.
The Jets, hypothetically speaking, would you take, with that defense and those weapons,
no.
would you take Tom
Hell
Brady?
Hell no. Absolutely not. Tom Brady in that stadium at this point, he'd be 46. First of all, he hates the Jets, so he wouldn't sign with the Jets. B, I don't know how that would fly with a Jet fan. I genuinely don't. I've told you this story a million times. My father, who was a lifelong season ticket holder of the Knicks and the biggest Knicks fan you ever met in your life, when there was talk that Michael Jordan was going to leave Chicago and that the Knicks maybe were going to get him, and the New York papers did like a mock-up of him in a Knick uniform, my father called me and said, Michael, if the Knicks sign Michael Jordan, I'm giving up my tickets and I'm never going back. That guy is the enemy. You're not supposed to try and sign him. You're supposed to try and beat him. Why is Brandon raising his hand? Brandon, if you say the name Gardner Minshew again, if you say Gardner Minshew, I'm literally throwing you out of the room. Gardner Minshew or
Tom Brady? Gardner Minshew. Hey,
Cam, Brandon just said Gardner Minshew or Tom Brady. How do we feel about that?
I'm taking Daniel Jones over Gardner Minshew, taking Minshew over Brady.
That's exactly right. The order is definite. Minshew is definitively third. Anyway, and then we worked our way through a bunch of other things, and then we got to the Jets, which I will save here, and we'll do a little more of as we continue. Greeny with you. You know what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? It's because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone with AutoZone. The other takes quickly. Patriots are a badly coached team. Whoever would have thought you would say that, but their coaching has genuinely been awful, and it is not unironic that they wind up losing yesterday on the most boneheaded final play in NFL history. I mean, I don't think that's overstating it. Is that the worst last play of an NFL game of all time.
Is that worse than the Leon Lett play? Like, which rule?
Well, Leon Lett isn't the last play.
Right, but that was the first thing that I thought of. Like, I did the same thing you did.
It's worse.
I think so, too.
It's worse, because Leon Lett is making a less obvious mistake.
Right. Everyone knows time and score.
Yeah.
Including everyone watching.
And look, Leon Lett, that's a huge mistake. I'm not downplaying the mistake.
But in the case of the Patriots, too, it's two players. Like, yeah. The Stevenson pitch is as inexcusable as the Myers throw. And ironically, the Myers throw was the best pass that a Patriots player made the whole day. Mac Jones throwing it, it would have been incomplete.
The last take that I had in there was that Justin Fields' run that wasn't a touchdown was the best play of the NFL season. The run that Fields makes yesterday where they rule, I actually think that they should be allowed to overrule that. Like, you know what? He stepped out of bounds. He was close enough not to that we need that play to live. We need it as a touchdown. The fact that they wound up scoring on the drive makes it all the more frustrating. That 100% deserved to be a touchdown. We'll continue with this. We've got to get to Nuno's notes. We'll have plenty of time for your hot takes today and a whole lot more. Stay right where you are. My name's Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. We're live at the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. A Monday staple with us here is your hot takes. I will tell you when to call, and I'll give you the number in just a few minutes, and we'll take your hot takes from everything that we saw over an incredible weekend in sports, and that includes the soccer game, if you want to offer a few thoughts on that. I want to mention, because look, I've talked a lot, obviously, today about the clock management of the Jets coach at the end yesterday. I do give him credit for owning it today. I follow Rich Cimini on Twitter. He covers the Jets for us at ESPN. And he tweeted 9 minutes ago that Robert Saleh says he only got a half hour sleep last night, rethinking the final drive. Says he should have called a timeout at a different point, saying, quote, he overthought it, wishes he could want that back. So I'm good with that. Look, it is what it is. I like the coach. I think he's done a very good job. He seems like a very nice guy. He's not someone that I've ever met. But I think you got to call it what it is. The whole world is ready to bury the quarterback. The quarterback has a lot of question marks around him. I have a great many questions about him myself. But at the end of the day, the clock management is what cost them a chance to win the game at the end. I thought it needed to be said. I felt I was getting disagreement on TV this morning, which frustrated me no end. I'm glad the coach owned it. That's the right thing to get up and say. You want a player to get up and say, I blew it. You want a coach to get up there and say, I blew it. And I'm glad to hear that he did. I give him my respect for that. Speaking of coaches, here was Belichick yesterday. Was this this morning or was it yesterday?
This morning.
This is this morning. This is Belichick this morning after his team loses on genuinely the stupidest play in NFL history. I mean, Nuno, you tell me, am I overstating that? Like, is that the single dumbest last play of all time? What else? I consider myself a student of the history of the game. We've seen a lot of dumb plays in NFL history. That's got to be right up there, right?
Yeah, some of the stuff I think of, right, is, you know, missing the bag, right, on a home run or something of that nature. But, like, for a Belichick team, for that to happen, that just shows you kind of the dysfunction that's happening this year.
Missing a bag by accident would be totally different. It's like missing a bag on purpose.
Is it worse than the Chris Webber timeout to you?
It is, because the Chris Webber timeout comes at the end of a game. He just forgets that he doesn't have a timeout. He's panicked. He's not a guy who you want to have the ball in the corner in that situation, but I guess it's like that. I mean, look, Chris has to live with that for the rest of his life, right? He called the timeout he didn't have in the national championship game. So it is like that. Look, this wasn't a championship game, so it's not going to be remembered like that. But it could easily wind up having been the game that knocks New England out of the playoffs.
This is what I wanted to ask you. You've always said the quarterback should never try and make a tackle.
Yeah.
Is that an exception?
Yes. I mean, in that situation, Mac Jones has to try and make a tackle. Dak Prescott had to try and make a tackle in the overtime. I mean, overtime, late in the season, yes. First quarter, no. First quarter, Mac Jones should get out of the way. He should actually look over and tell Joe Judge to do it. Tell Joe Judge to come tackle somebody. He's such a great offensive mind. And that's who's coaching me out here. Anyway, I digress. Here was Bill with what he told his team today.
The first thing I said after the game yesterday is we have to play better situational football, play and coach better situational football. I've never coached in a game where you weren't coaching, making corrections and mistakes after the game on all levels, playing, coaching, everything, decision-making, overall strategy, everything. That's a part of every game, every review. Obviously, we don't want the result that we had on that play. So just leave it at that.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Here's the one thing Hembo just said to me. Go ahead and say the thing that you said to me during the break about if you were the coach of that team or in charge of the team, what you would have done after that play.
Oh, I would have immediately cut Jacoby Myers. I could not bear to look at him. Just knowing that he cost me, like very directly cost me a chance to win a game, I would be so emotionally charged and tied into it. I would say, I'm never seeing you again. I don't care. I don't care if you end up becoming a Pro Bowler 10 times over with Miami. I never want to see your face again.
I mean, A, that just speaks volumes about the person that you are. But B, I understand what you're saying. Like, I do that too. I get very emotional about things like that. I get mad and I want to do things like that. That's why I've always said, I would love to be the owner of an NFL team. And my dream in life, if you said to me, what's my dream in life? It's not realistic to say I could be the quarterback of an NFL team. Candidly, it's not realistic to say that I could own an NFL team either. But I guess I had a better shot / have a better shot at that than I do at being the quarterback. And what I would say is I would be a terrible owner. Terrible. I would be on the headset. Like, I would demand to get on. I certainly would have called a timeout. On the last drive yesterday, I would have gotten on. I would have a headset, and I would be open to anyone who wants to hear it. And I would have said to Zach Wilson at some point in that drive, call a timeout right now, or you're cut. And then I would have said to the coach, you're fired. I can't believe we didn't call a timeout there. Fire the coach. Someone else call plays. We're done here. Like, that's who I am. And I get that wouldn't work. Like, I understand that wouldn't be a good thing. But I would absolutely have to intervene in everything that happened. I would want to be in, you know how the offensive coordinator is in the coach's, in the quarterback's helmet for like 15 seconds? I'd want that.
You want to be the owner talking to Zach Wilson during the game.
Yeah, yeah. I think I have a lot to say. I don't mean on every play, but I want to have the ability to override anyone else and just me push the button. And in that situation, I would call a timeout. For the love of Christmas, call a timeout. And if any of the coaches say anything to you, tell them the owner says they're fired.
On this play, prove to me you are not Jamarcus Russell.
That's correct. Just freaking call a timeout for the love of all things holy. Speaking of which, the one thing we haven't gotten today is Nuno's notes. Now, what's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's notes.
Sure. Let's do it.
So Nuno has a couple of notes that I wanted to read to you. I'm going back to Saturday's game, the Browns beating the Ravens. Nuno wrote to me, in his next negotiations with the Ravens, Lamar should quote the great American poet Fat Joe and remind them that yesterday's price is not today's price. That was a very damaging loss for the Ravens. And I agree with you. That was a very good day for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. When people talk about the Ravens, all you keep hearing is the system, right? The system. It's all about the system and so forth. But like watching that game, you realize just how valuable Lamar is. And I'll ask you this, as a team who roots for as a fan who roots for a team that has no wide receivers, who has worse wide receivers, the Giants or the Ravens?
The Giants. Excuse me, the Ravens are worse. The Giants are better. I said this on TV about 2 weeks ago. Lamar Jackson has not had a great season, but he is, in every conceivable way, the best thing about that team. I mean, and no one is even close. They've done a terrible job around him. Terrible. When he's not there against a very average Cleveland defense, they scored 3 points on Saturday. So I agree with you. That was a good day to be Lamar Jackson. On the Lions-Jets game, Nuno wrote to me, I'm not a Jets fan, but it felt like Robert Saleh undid a lot of the good he's done so far this year. Here's what I will say to you, Nuno. I opened up this segment by saying that he took it today. He owned it. And that makes it okay with me. Like, look, I get it. People are going to make mistakes. I understand. That's why I couldn't be the owner of the team, because I would have fired him yesterday, and that would have been a mistake. I respect that he owned it. Like, look, mistakes are going to happen. On balance, he's done an excellent job. He's not coaching a great team. He's coaching a team that has a lot of good players, or has some extremely good players. But they also have some glaring deficiencies, and they're very young. He has done an excellent job on balance this season. So the fact, Nuno, for me as a fan of the team, if he had come in there today and said, no, I wouldn't do anything differently, that would have really bothered me. But the fact that he came in there and said, I only slept a half hour last night thinking it through, I blew it, I respect that. And that makes it okay with me. One more. Bengals Bucks, he writes, Tom Brady was the epitome of the uncle who shows up at the holiday party, decides to show off the arm, and things look great early on. 30 minutes later, he's out of breath, calling timeouts and looking for another drink. That was right. That was ugly. That was ugly, and he has, for the first time in his career, Nuno, lost 8 games in a season.
I just wonder, like, the mindset of Tom Brady, it's always this extreme competitor. You're always in these games. You look so great, and then it went away. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if, he got too cold, during that halftime or something of that nature, or he realized that, you know what, I'm just not that good anymore. And that's what we got, is throwing the ball away, dropping the ball. Something is glaringly wrong with him and this franchise and this team at this point in time.
Oh, yeah, it's over. I mean, them, it's over. He needs to get out of there. And I'm not 100% convinced that there is any team that is going to sit back and say, we're Tom Brady away from winning the Super Bowl right now. All right, my phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Call right now with your hot takes. We are open to any takes you've got. You got football takes, you got soccer, whatever it is that you're into right now. I'm dying to hear from you, and we'll do that after this word from FanDuel. So the football is heating up, right? Now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, which is America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with the promo code PLAY. The app is safe, it's secure, it's super easy to use. They have all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. So sign up today with the promo code PLAY for your no-sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP Louisiana, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New York, Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. Coming to your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN in just a moment for your hot takes. Very quickly, Brandon and Nuno and Hembo and I were just going through a variety of quarterback options that will be available during this offseason. The name Aaron Rodgers comes up. Rodgers, to me, is an infinitely more interesting possibility for teams than Brady. Brady, I think, to me, looks done. I think it's over for Brady. He's one of those for whom I think he'll be the last one to know it, because he's just that mentality. I mean that respectfully, not disrespectfully. But right now, if I'm a team that needs a quarterback, I don't think that's the direction I'm looking. Rodgers, I would look at, I mean, from a football standpoint. The point is, I don't think I want to bring him in as my new quarterback, which is to say, he goes to a new team. Do you think he's showing up in March and April and meeting everybody and working with the new receivers and all that stuff? This is a person for whom I think he views himself as having a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of other interests. I don't think the McAfee thing would go over well with the New York media either. To me, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay.
I think you're picking nits, though, because you're acting as if the Jets are operating from any position of strength. Like, those are little problems to have. But if you have Aaron Rodgers, you can deal with those problems. Mike White plus Zach Wilson is a much bigger problem than Aaron Rodgers not showing up in March.
Maybe. We continue here with your call. Hot takes, 888-SAY-ESPN. It's your chance to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. Cam is with us today. Hashtag Cam, and he has the callers ready to go. Cam, who's first up?
Going to Jeff in Howard Beach.
All right, Jeff, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Jeff, give us a hot take.
Hey, Green, how you doing? Real quick, just to you and your callers, because this is going to lead into my point. I watched something over the weekend, right? And for a sports fan, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, because I watched the Cubs documentary on going to the World Series and winning it, and it was also a Pearl Jam concert. And at the end of it, I actually shed a tear because I want that joy as a Dolphin fan so much. And because I'm calling you about my coach, I am devastated that his play calling cost the Dolphins the game on 3rd and 1 when you're running the ball at 5 yards a clip and more, and you have 2 downs to get a first down and put the Bills away almost and continue that drive. He called that play. Dolphin Nation is really, really pissed at this man, and he better get his head out of his ass or the Dolphins are going to miss the playoffs, Greeny.
Thank you, Jeff, for a good call. Who was doing that game? But whoever was doing that game kept saying he's getting cute. Oh, Sanchez. It was Mark. It was Mark Sanchez was doing that game, and he said that. He said, they're getting a little cute for me. Mark is very good on these games, but you agree with me?
Yeah, he's good.
He's very good on the games. And Mark said it directly. He's like, just run the damn ball. He actually said that. They kept getting down inside the red zone, and they did get cute, and they're throwing it around, and it cost them. You know, in any game that you lose on a field goal at on the last play of the game, any individual play could have made the difference. Jeff, I agree with you. Coach got cute. I think he's a good coach, but he got cute down there, and it cost him. Cam, who's next?
Got Ryan in Texas.
All right, Ryan, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Give us a hot take, Ryan. Go.
Tom Brady to the Dolphins. This guy can do anything that Tua can do. You know, when I watch the Dolphins play, I can't watch it live. I have to, you know, wait for Tua to throw the ball. I hit the 10-second forward button, and then the ball's still in the air. It's too much. He's taking too long. You know, get him out there. Get a winning culture, championship pedigree. Draft a young guy. And then let him groom for 1 year, that Tom Brady Dime championship.
I appreciate the thought. I think you can't do it because you already got docked a first-round draft pick for tampering with him, right? Like, you tried to make Brady an owner and player, and you lost a first-round draft pick as a result of it. So the result of an NFL investigation was a significant penalty to the franchise. I mean, the docking of a first-round draft pick almost never happens. There will only be 31 picks in the first round this year. I do the draft. I mean, I only have to prepare 31 picks, not 32. The Dolphins, they're just one of them gone. And they traded the other one for Bradley Chubb. They had 2 first-round picks. Now they have none. So I do not think that Brady is going there. I just think that just would not pass the smell test
at
this point, right?
There is no argument that can coherently say that Brady is even better than Tua right now. Anyway, Tua is way better than Tom Brady this year in any offense.
On a cold weather. Well, look, Tua played well.
I thought so too.
Yeah, he played well. He played well Saturday night. Can't say. No, you're right. And he's younger and everything
cheaper.
Else. And at this moment, cheaper. Yeah, Greeny on ESPN Radio. Cam, who's next?
David in Virginia.
David, give us a hot take. David, go.
Hey, Greeny, I hate to keep bringing up the Dolphins, but I'm a massive Dolphin fan, and why I agree with the previous caller, the two previous callers, we should have run the ball. It also goes squarely down the way that this was officiated. I know you're supposed to be homers, but if you look at the officiating and the entire game, the defensive backs for the Miami Dolphins could not get within spitting distance of their wide receivers, yet when we went out, we were getting wrapped up, we could not get to the ball, and they never got at the pass. We did. We had 3 penalties on us on 1 series against us on roughing on. I'm sorry, pass interference.
Yeah.
And yet later on, we see this wrapped up before the ball ever gets there, and nothing got called.
That's a lot of Dolphins calls we're getting today. Look, there were a lot of officiating. Look, every weekend there are bad officiating moments. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a very hard job. It's an impossible job to do perfectly. And it's a hard job to even do well, and half the time they don't do that. Nobody got it worse than Washington this week. What happened to Washington was unbelievable last night. But that's – let me ask you a question. Nuno, you're screening calls, right? Or you have a second or
yeah,
no
Yeah, I got
jump
a second.
In?
Let's
As
do
a Giant fan, how did you feel about the way the last 2 plays of that game were officiated?
Well, on that last one, if you're going to call the pass interference, there was also hands to the face on Kayvon Thibodeau where he was blinded.
Okay.
But here's the deal. 2 weeks ago, the Giants got hosed against the Commanders during the refs.
Yeah.
And Commanders fans, a couple weeks ago when you beat the Eagles, let's not forget that what was it, the pick six? Or the fumble return for a touchdown, there was a blatant
face mask
and Dallas Goedert. Right. So this all evens out in the wash. So it is what it is. It sucks, but it's part of the game.
I agree with that. So you're going to get bad calls. Sometimes they go your way. Sometimes they don't. It would be nice if that didn't happen. The one thing, and I actually opened the show with it today because it was so unique and so interesting to me with RC and Rex explaining that when Terry McLaurin looks over at the official and is like, am I good here? And the official says, no, move up a little. And McLaurin moves up and they exchange thumbs ups. And then the ball is snapped and the official throws the flag. That's that's different. That's not the same thing as we missed a face mask or we, you know, it could have been a pass interference here or there. Like, that felt bad. Mm. Like, everything about that did not feel good.
And everyone's betting on these games now. I got more texts and tweets about that play than everything else the whole weekend combined. Everyone is enraged by that. Like, those are the kinds of things the NFL could definitely do without now with all the fantasy. And
Washington was what, like a 3-point favorite in that game or something?
It wound up at 4.5.
Yeah, so they weren't going to cover.
No.
Their game goes to overtime. Theoretically, they could have won on a touchdown. So we'll see. Actually, if they score and get the 2-point conversion, we are set up for the potential double tie.
The tie gate.
They did tie each other. If they had tied each other twice in a 3-week span, and for Washington, it was actually consecutive games. The Commanders would have had consecutive ties against the Giants.
And it would have been the same score, 20-20.
And it would have been. That's a good job, Cam. That is well done by you. I really like that. I like the cut of Cam's jib. Cam is kind of jumping in nicely today. I like it. By the way, has anyone ever told you look a little bit like a Jonas Brother?
Like when they cut to this look? I've gotten One Direction and Jonas Brother. I guess it's a compliment.
You look like a
bro.
You look like a Jonas Brother. You look a little like Joe, I think. You look like Joe if Joe had Nick's hair.
Or Frankie, the one that's not even in the band.
Frank the Tank, the bonus Jonas. I know a lot about the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, clearly.
Wow.
Well, my kids grew up with the Jonas Brothers.
So, literally, grew up with them? Like, they're friends?
No, they grew up loving the Jonas Brothers. Okay. I mean, that's... So what's going to happen is there's two... Let's lose the music here. There's two kinds of dad you can be. One of them is the dad who forces your kids to watch all of your shows and listen to all of your music. Or the kind of dad who watches all the kids' shows and listens to all of their music. I don't know that one way is right or wrong. I was definitively the dad who listened to my kids' music with them and watched their shows. So that's why three of the four Wiggles were on Mike and Mike. That wasn't because Golic was dying to talk to Anthony or Captain Feathersword. But, you know, my kids, we loved the Wiggles. I was that dad. So I know the Jonas Brothers. I know every Jonas Brothers song. I remember their short-lived TV show. Their Disney Channel movie called Camp Rock was a very big deal. We actually, as my family, we went to the premiere of that. So I know the Jonas Brothers and have met them a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah, nice kids.
So real quick, knowing what Hembo's tastes are, Hembo, be the father that actually watches and listens to what your kids are watching and listening.
Because
you have no taste.
You're not going to have your baby daughters listening to Yellow Card and other, like hard rock, heavy metal, like how would you
punk?
Like death metal music? Like you cannot have like 4-year-olds listening to that.
We did watch Ken Burns Baseball, though, the documentary this weekend.
Please tell me you're making that up.
I'm not making that up.
Your daughters are 3 months old and you sat them in front of Ken Burns documentary about baseball.
Yes, it was a good opportunity for them to get their sleep in. I consumed baseball from 1870 to about 1920 and learned a lot. As I always do.
Yeah, I know.
So
I mean, that documentary is very good. He is very good. Well, thank you for the hot takes. Hembo was ridiculous. Monday Night Football tonight brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance and Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. Make my pick.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
Nuno, how'd I do this weekend, by the way? I had 3 picks this week. I feel like I did well.
You went 2-1. The only loss was the Bucks game.
I lost Tampa. I went the opposite. I had Tampa giving the points
for a while.
At one point, that looked very good.
Yeah.
All right, it's 2-1, so I'm above 500 for the season, right?
Yes, you're still one game behind Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
Man. So I'm one game out of first?
Yep, you're one game out of first.
God, I got a chance to win this thing. All right, so the Monday night game doesn't count toward that. But anyway, kiss of death tonight. Rams, Packers, the game's in Green Bay. I haven't seen the number. I'm going to guess Green Bay. Could they be a touchdown favorite? I mean, the Rams and Baker and him. I'm going to say that they're like an 8-point favorite.
It's 7.5.
7.5.
Coming off their bye, too.
And is, that's right. Is there any public?
Nah.
It's all down the middle?
Yeah, down the middle.
All right. So should I go opposite? I believe Green Bay wins the game. Now, do they cover? I think they do, which means I have to go the other way, right?
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Hello, my name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents. While I was sick, I watched a lot of Seinfeld. I am going to, go. I believe Green Bay is going to win and cover tonight. So my official pick is going to be the Rams getting the points.
So it's Aaron Rodgers versus Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah.
I think they're the quarterbacks, I think, likeliest to start a podcast together. Do they seem like a natural?
No, I believe they are each the quarterbacks likeliest to start a podcast, but not together. In fact, I feel like they would hate each other. Don't you? I think Aaron Rodgers would think Baker is ridiculous. And I think Baker,
yeah, what would
well, I don't, know, I don't know who he likes. Like, I really don't have a real sense of Baker's personality. Like, he's an unusual dude, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers would like him.
Baker Mayfield, I think, is going to set all the records for having played on the most teams. Does he not feel like the guy who's going to play on a different team every single year?
This is year four, and he's on his third team.
Already.
And he has started for all three, right? Did he actually start that game? No, he came in after one series.
But he's starting tonight.
Yeah. So he will have started for three different teams in his first four seasons, having been the first pick in the draft. I'm guessing that's never happened before.
No, it's never happened before. We looked that up.
What's the over-under on the number of teams for whom he will start a game in his career?
If I set the over-under at 5.5, what would you take?
I would lean towards the over. Who holds the record for that? Is it Ryan Tannehill?
It's probably Testaverde.
No,
right?
The guy from Harvard who's on Amazon, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the number one pick.
Oh, sorry. No, of number one picks, yeah, it's probably Testaverde or...
Fitzpatrick started a game for 9 different teams, which I believe is the record.
Yeah. Man. I didn't even think of him being the first pick in the draft. Quickly, you said there were some interesting lines you wanted me to try and guess.
So I want you to start with the Jet game. You posited that you thought the Jets would be an underdog.
Oh, for sure. I'm going to guess the Jaguars Thursday night on the road. That could be a pick'em game. We don't even know who the Jet quarterback is going to be. I mean, I would favor the Jaguars. I would say the Jaguars are a 2-point favorite.
The Jets are a 1-point favorite.
All right. I guess. I mean, we'll see. Okay. I understand. The Jets defense is really good.
Giants at the Vikings Christmas Eve.
Vikings -6.5?
Vikings -3.5.
Jeez, my goodness.
There is no team Vegas.
Vegas hates
yeah,
Minnesota.
They really do.
They really do. You got one more or no?
That's all I got.
All right, that's good. That's good stuff. All right, today was fun. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of it. The hot takes, as usual, were spectacular. We'll be back in better than ever tomorrow with a good Monday night game tonight and starting looking ahead to Christmas, NBA coverage, and a whole lot more. So we'll see you then. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.